KFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, if you take the chorus stop. Transformers, defenders of
truth, robots who fight in disguise. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP, episode number 219, recorded October 1st, 2016. I am your host, Ron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
And Sergio Garcia.
Good evening.
A little bit of a small cast tonight, kind of everybody getting a little bit busy and I guess not being available tonight, but... I actually thought I was going to be late myself. I've been at a bonfire with some friends. It's just down the street. My girlfriend's still there, by the way. And I rushed home to do the show, and I'm like, where is everybody?
hopefully the bonfire was a lot of Beast Machine night screams, just piles of them just
erupting
up into the air.
It's just a really nice fall evening here in Kentucky, and, we had a bonfire going, and... They were all sitting around eating chili, and
that sounds great.
Yeah, I gobbled down some chili and rushed home, and if they're still going on after we finish, I'm gonna run back down there and say, "Hey, hey, I'm still here."
Chili and s'mores, hopefully.
Yeah. I think there were some marshmallows on the counter. I forgot, but let's talk about toys. That's why we're here tonight. Transformers. If you're new to TFYLP. We are trying some new things, so if our audio levels aren't quite what they are, you would expect them to be, please let me know. We're working on our quality, trying to get it better, and trying to evolve from the changes that Google Plus and Google Hangouts forced on us. I think what we've got going on here seems to be working pretty well. Going to get couple of the other guys trained on this new method, and hopefully we can get the ball rolling the way it had been going before. But I think everything's running somewhat smoothly here. Transformers. Tonight's topic, we're going to be talking about selling regrets and selling Transformers that you once had, you might have once loved. And for whatever reason, we're going to look at, reasons that we've sold and things that we've sold. There's several figures that I have had in my past that I totally regret selling. I wish I hadn't sold them. And just this past BotCon, I actually picked up one of my past sales that I regretted and found another one at BotCon and was able to get it, but it cost me because it was a costly toy. We're going to talk a little bit about those. Also, buying cheap Transformers, that may be incomplete, piecing them together, the fun and the challenges in that. Actually, my Holy Grail that I picked up at BotCon kind of falls into that category. We're going to cover that. So if you want to mention any comments or questions, you can tweet us at TFYLP on Twitter. You can comment on the YouTube video live. I've got it pulled up right here. Night Swords is on here, and Minifig Collector. I want to say hi to you guys, and thank you for tuning in tonight. And as everybody kind of filters in throughout the show, if you have a comment or question, we'll possibly mention them on the show if they're relevant. Also got a couple other things here I want to highlight and talk about here in a moment. But I also want to remind everybody that this is Cancer Awareness Month. October is Cancer Awareness Month. And our show, TFYLP, is being touched by this because a member of our family, Mr. Chad Williams, suffers from cancer right now, dealing with that. And want to ask everybody who is inclined to do so, please keep him in your prayers and in your thoughts. And if you would like to help Chad, because his doctor bills are piling up and everything, there is a link on our website, tftalk.net. If you would like to contribute to his GoFundMe page, there's a link up there. Even if it's just a dollar, every little bit helps. Please go on there and help. I know we don't normally ask for money, and we're not asking for money for the show. This is for a good cause. The guy, you know, needs help. He's got two kids and a wife. Please help him out. I'm going to throw this one over to Sergio, since I don't think he's ever actually got a chance to do it. We have a couple sponsors. You want to give them a plug?
Yeah, we do. Don was talking earlier about Computron. If you're looking for Computron or any other retail or maybe some third-party transformers, you can head over to CapturedPrey.com. Great prices, great toys, great service. Might have messed that up.
Yeah.
if you're looking for something vintage, maybe a vintage Computron or other cool old transformers, you can head over to MegaToyFan.com. He is also at your local robot and toy conventions. The next one is going to be TFCon Chicago.
Coming up in just a couple weeks.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for that. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah. I'm buzzing. Even my girlfriend's going to be there, so it's going to be her first time in the Windy City. So I'm hoping it's going to be a good experience for her because she's never been there, and I hope we get a good opportunity to have some fun there.
Yeah, I would love to go, but it's just the fact that I just can't do that drive. So it's an 11-hour drive for me each way, and I just can't do that again because I was just by the time I got back, I was just like, no, I just can't do it. And if I fly, I can't take enough to sell to help pay for everything else. So it's, yep. So there's that.
Well, I'm the same situation. If I weren't already a dealer helper, it'd be very difficult for me to go.
Yeah.
But you know, as such, I also want to bring something up before we move into our main topic tonight. I want to highlight something that you can go to Capture Prey right now and pre-order. I've actually got a production sample of something. A lot of you guys...
Drum roll.
Yeah, well, a lot of you guys may be familiar with this lovely guy right here, and this is MP24 Masterpiece Star Saber. Awesome guy. Got the KFC upgrade hands on him, so he can actually point and actually hold his sword properly, which seemed to be an issue with the main Takara one. The groove, accidentally hit a button on my printer. Sorry about that, guys. Yeah, the original hand for my Masterpiece Star Saber, the groove that was on the sword that's supposed to clip in there, it's actually too narrow for the sword hilt. So it never fit. So, sorry. And, guys, I want to say kind of keep the messaging to a minimum.
Cause okay, sorry.
That sound is actually fed back through to the listeners. Sorry. So it's actually very loud.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Yeah. Masterpiece Star Saber, great toy and everything, but he seems a bit incomplete. Don't you think?
It's almost like he's missing something, you know, that would be just, I don't know, lying around somewhere.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of something that KFC is helping fix. And it's this gorgeous guy right here. This right here is KFC's Simba, their answer to Masterpiece Victory Leo. And I have to say, this is a phenomenally beautiful toy. As you can see, good and sturdy. This is just a sample, production sample. My biggest concern was whenever I was transforming it, pulling the upper thigh here out of the shin, because it collapses down. You got to pull pretty hard because and I thought I was going to break it, but you know, it's just that tight of a joint. But it's still really a really good solid quality toy. And for those of you who are watching on video, here is him right next to Masterpiece Star Saber. So great size. Yeah.
Definitely in scale.
Definitely in scale with him. And I have not yet personally, I just got him in hand several hours ago before I went to the bonfire. And I had a chance to, he was actually in pieces because our sponsor, Captured Prey, got this in as a sample. And he had actually used it to do some video reviews. So check out the Captured Prey YouTube channel, which is brand new. Subscribe to that. He's going to do some reviews once in a while. And this is up on there, this actual very toy. He had him in combined mode. So whenever he handed him off to me, he was already in pieces. So, I had to figure out with no instructions how to put him together. But as you can see, if you're watching the video, he's quite easy to figure out. I mean, the trickiest part was getting the head flipped around here and figuring out how to do the legs without breaking. But, you know, I just asked, I'm like, hey, do I pull straight on this? Is there a button I need to push? And he said, no, you just pull pretty hard. And I know that sounds dirty, but you pull pretty hard on it and it'll pop right out. The tail thing, the tail whip here.
Oh, wow.
It's all ball jointed here. And listen to this. All the ratchets.
I was going to say, though, so I heard they didn't click, they clunked.
Yeah, I know that's loud to you listeners, but that's the quality in this toy. And like I said,
it's music to my ears.
Yeah, I'm sitting here and look, this is a production sample, and I'm shaking it vigorously. It is not falling apart, it's not floppy. This thing is great. So I can't wait. I asked about the approximate release of this, and I've been told within the next month and a half it should be at your local your favorite retailers. Capture Prey should be getting them in about that time. If I'm not mistaken, he's about $135 to $150, but for something this size, and I'm trying to put him up here without him falling off, but for something this size and that kind of quality, and it's perfect scale with an official masterpiece, actually combines with that official masterpiece, I think that's a great, great price. And he may even help you qualify for the free shipping. With Capture Prey.
Since I've got Star Saber, I haven't looked what the prices are, but whenever I go to some websites, I get like suggestions. And I've seen some places have sales on Star Saber, just general sales from time to time. So if you've been on the fence about Star Saber, getting Simba, as a combined package would definitely get you the free shipping at most places, and it would give you a chance to get Victory Saber.
Yeah,
I want
to highlight the fact that he does have the typical KFC hands, where these are fully articulated fingers. Every joint and everything. Look, if you can see that on the video, you can splay out the hand, and there's just such a range of poses you can put him in. Put him up there like Stop Thief.
I have to say, so they're finger bending good.
Yes, Finger Bit really stepped it up.
Yeah, and I've got Double Deck on the way, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm just wondering, literally, if they do a dark repaint of him, because I've always liked Victory Saber, but he's not really one of those crucial Transformers that I just have to have. You know, it's just one of them things, but I would like to have the Simba. I'm hoping they do a darker, like an evil version, so I can still have the mold, but something different. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering, would they call him Scar?
Bum bum ba dum.
Even Massey didn't like that one.
Yeah.
Of course, he doesn't like anything, so there's that.
But yeah, check out CapturePrey.com. Pre-order your Simba today. Great stuff. And I'm not saying that just because, you know, we're sponsored by Capture Prey. It's a great toy, and it's also a great price they have them for. So check that out. And hello, Massey.
See
from one cat to another. See, he's just trying to combine with you, Don, so that you can become Victory Don.
But there's less blood involved in the cartoon. More stock footage and less blood.
Yeah. Ah. All right. Well, let's start talking about some of our figures that we've actually. Hold on here. I'm getting a phone call from Brett. I can't talk because I'm in the podcast. But let's talk about our figures that we have actually owned in the past, and for whatever reason, we've actually sold. I'm sure everybody's had this actually happen to them. I've been through it. I'm contemplating doing it again. And for this very reason, this is actually kind of touching me right now. This very reason, I'm kind of holding off on selling some things. I kind of want to, but it's not more of a need to right now, but I kind of want to, because there's things that I want to get paid off, and room that I want to clear up. And as you can see, I'm quickly running out of room in these things, especially with the size of these masterpieces and everything. It's just a lot of stuff. Don, have you got anything that you've actually done this with? You know, maybe a Supreme Class Cheetor or...
No, I couldn't get rid of that thing fat. Well, actually, mine is broken in the bottom of a box. I just haven't set it on fire and made delicious s'mores with it yet. Actually, I really have not. My regret is kind of the exact opposite. I haven't sold as much as I needed to, that I should have by this point, having been a collector for so long. So, I mean, I've sold some things that, you know, small little figures I wouldn't mind getting back. But really, my big regret is I wish I'd sold my classics earlier than I did when the market was still there. For classics figures versus now with the MPs out, classics is really not as hot as it used to be. I've been sitting here trying to think of a figure that I regret selling, and it's all basically I regret not selling more than I have, or, you know, thinning out my collection. Because, see, you thinned out your collection once or twice before, Duron, and you were able to enjoy your collection more because it made you pick the pieces you wanted to keep above all else. And I still have most of my stuff from the past 30 years of collecting. So that's my regret, is I haven't sold as much as I should have.
Oop. You're in here now, Brett.
But can you hear me?
Yes, very loudly.
How about now?
Yes.
A little better.
Just whenever you're not talking, just kind of mute your mic. That way it'll help cut down the background noise.
I said it way over here.
But to kind of catch you up real quick, we're talking about figures that we've actually had before and sold, and then down the line, for whatever reason, thought, damn it, I wish I hadn't sold that. So that's where we're at right now. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
That's really it. It's just my big regret is just selling, hanging on to so much stuff for so long, because my collection is so. And this, I'm not bragging. It's just I have so much stuff. I really can't enjoy anything because it's everywhere. But I've put so much work into this collection, and I love everything except most of the movie stuff and Armada and Energon that I wish I'd never bought. But anyway, that's beside the point. So that's my biggest regret. Just I haven't sold as much as I should have by this point.
I've killed my video to you guys, so I'm saving some bandwidth now that we got an extra person in here. What about you, Sergio? Have you owned and sold and thought, wow, I wish I hadn't done that?
It's happened to where I sold something and then I ended up buying it back.
The later. Very same one?
Yeah. Wow. Well, no, not the very same one per se, but like the same figure. You know, it wasn't the same original one that I had, but like at one point I've owned like three of the Shattered Glass Galvatrons just because I bought one because it was cheap. And then I realized, well, I don't have a Shattered Glass collection, so I sold it. And then I was like, man, that was a really good toy. So I bought it again. And then the same thing happened. I was like, I don't even have a Shattered Glass collection, so I sold it again. And then now I do have a Shattered Glass collection and ended up buying a third one off a local friend. But
the one that would fall into that category for me would be Trypticon. I have owned Trypticon three times and Scorponok twice. Generation 1 Scorponok. I've owned Generation 1 Scorponok twice. And this MF-er over here on the left, I actually bought the last time I owned them, I bought them from him.
I think he means you, Brett. I think just...
I'm at the bottom. I was kind of hoping that, you know, I was at the bottom. Because on my screen, I'm at the bottom. Guilty. All right. Guilty.
But yeah, like, touching on what Don said, I've kind of had the same thing that you're going through right now, Duran, where you don't really need to sell, but you're like, you know, some extra money would be nice, or you know, there's stuff that I would like to buy. And so I've just kind of been looking through my collection like, okay, what can I sell? And what do I really don't enjoy that much? And it's really hard because a lot of it is like crap that nobody wants. And then once you get to the big ticket items that will get you money, you have to sit there and really think it through. Like, do I really want to get rid of this?
It's like I've got a couple of years, many years ago, Tony. We all know Tony Prieto. Tony's been in the been Transformers as long as any of us. And he went to Japan, and he picked me up a Road Caesar. And I was so excited to get Road Caesar. I waited for the package to come. I got the package. I opened it. Really? This is Road Caesar? I mean, granted, this was in the mid-90s, so I didn't pay what they're going for nowadays. But the problem is... I will never be able to replace it for what I paid for it if I sold it and for some reason wanted it later on. So, you know, it's that whole – it's not my favorite figure, but I'll never be able to own it again.
I love the Brainmaster gimmick. That thing is awesome.
Oh, yeah. I love the Brainmaster. See, that's why I was hoping we would see from Combiner Wars is – some of these Japanese Transformers with Combiner Wars technology remade into something a little bit better. But
Still see that.
Yeah, I mean, I could get a decent price for the Road Caesar even with him being, you know, loose and complete at this point. Because, again, this was 96, 97. I bought him and opened him because at the time, you don't think 20 years ago that this stuff is going to be what it is now. You know, I just didn't think that. So, I mean, that's what I'm wondering. Stuff that will bring me the money that I would like, I'll never be able to replace it for what I paid for it.
Yeah, and that's a really good observation, is you really can't predict the market. You know, you never know. Something that could be worth $100 right now in the future could be worth $200, could be worth $50. You just really never know, and that's the kind of thing. Sometimes when I look at something, I'll be like, well, if I sell something that I like, I try to make it something to where – it won't be super hard to get in the future if I ever decide to get it back. But when it comes to exclusives and other obscure stuff like a Road Caesar, for example, you really got to think it through.
Well, that's why I got Grand Galvatron. I had a feeling if I didn't get him when he came out, it was going to be an absolute bear on the aftermarket to actually land one. I hate not getting Megatronia, you know, Takara's version of Victorion.
Grand Galvatron is one of those gift sets that you don't get it for the combined form. You get it for the individuals that are just awesome. You got the Cyclonus. That's a way better deco than what we got. And then the four individual characters that we didn't get over here.
And the complete, just what the heck are they thinking?
Yeah. The thing is like you were saying with Road Caesar, Don, you got a figure that a lot of people aren't necessarily seeking it because it's quite frankly not the greatest toy ever. But to me, I love the Brainmaster gimmick. Oh. And they're so, those guys individually are simple, yet, you know, you could sit there. I had the three individual bots at one time. I didn't have the combiner pieces. They were the Japanese versions, but not the European ones. But I just didn't have the combiner pieces. And I could just sit there and mess with the Brainmaster gimmick all day long. It was just so fun. And then you could quickly convert them from one end to the other, and I never had an opportunity to combine them, but I'm of the inclination that I probably would have never combined them. I would have just left them in individual. You know, like I said, also, those are among my regret sales. I wish I hadn't sold those.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brett. Oh, that's okay. Yeah, it's just... You know, Landclaws is another one for me. I got the set again mid-90s. You know, the things were still everywhere at that point in Japan, so I got it for dirt cheap. Landclaws is not a really great combiner. He's like Superion. He's Mr. Floppy Legs. He just does this. You know, he's at a constant state of looking down at the shelf.
G1 Superion was another one of those.
Exactly. And it's like, I'll never replace it for as little as I got it back. Because being so old and, you know, ancient, as Brett always points out, that's one advantage is I got the stuff when it was dirt cheap. But I'll never be able to replace it if I sell it. And that's my big fear. I traded off my BotCon animated Fistatron that year. Someone had the Fans Project Shadow Scythe trailer armor because I already had the Rodimus from a few years before, and I wanted that Fans Project armor because I have all the Fans Project armors. So I traded off my Fistatron. I got $100 trade credit towards that Shadow Scythe armor. That bugged me for 2 years not having that Fistatron until I finally got it back.
Yeah, that happens to me with buying something. I really don't like buying a figure that doesn't have a place. So let's say I buy something from a toy line that I don't own. If I buy one, I have to get the rest because I don't like looking at it being misplaced.
Oh, well, see, I don't have that. See, I bought this is a slightly off topic product, but it's the 3A Acid Rain tank. The quad tank that transforms, and I am not a military person by any means, but I've always wanted that tank, and it's going to sit on my shelf with my Big Guy and Rusty deluxe size figure, my Vehicle Voltron, my Line Force, the oddball stuff that has no matching partners, and I don't plan on getting any more of that line, but I got that one piece, so that luckily that doesn't bother me. That's why scale doesn't bother me. When I grew up, we had no scale. It does, so it's really not a thing that's important to me anymore.
You know, I mean, the thing is, let's talk about reasons why we would sell. You know, for me, the couple times that I've sold off things, I needed the money. You know, I needed to pay for a rather large bill that I was not expecting, or just got tired of a debt that just kept lingering, and no matter how much I kept throwing the little minimum payment at it, I couldn't pay it off. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to sell these toys and pay it off. So I've done that a couple times. Matter of fact, one of my number one biggest regret that I fixed this past year was Deathsaurus, G1 Deathsaurus. Love that toy.
I'm so glad you got it back.
Back in the day, I had it. It only gave $150 for it back in the early 2000s. I'm wanting to say 2000-2001-ish. You know, I had just learned about Japanese Transformers, saw this one, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I got that one. I got Victory Leo for a couple, I want to say $250-$300. And then I got an Overlord for about $150.
Wow.
All of them nearly complete, but, you know, they weren't complete, but they were nearly complete. And just, I had those toys, and they were great, great toys. I loved every one of them. And then down the road, you know, I had them for about 5 years and then wound up having to sell them. And at the time, I'm like, you know, I didn't grow up with these toys, really don't hold any sentimental meaning to me. They were cool, but, you know, down the road, you get to thinking about them, and you're like, wow. You know, you see a picture of somebody else's. Like, for me, I would see somebody else's Deathsaurus, or I'd see him at a convention. I'm like, man, I love playing with that toy. It was such a great toy. I wish I hadn't sold it. But, like I said, you know, I told you the prices I paid earlier, you know, 16 years ago for these toys. Now, you try to find a Deathsaurus for $150 or an Overlord for $150 or a Victory Saber for $250. You know, you're not going to do it unless it's in utter trash condition, you know, so...
Well, I'll mention this as an example. During, you know, Brad... We all know Brad. Brad helps out with Capture Prey. And he picked up a couple years ago. He picked up a big powered set. Now this was several years. And you remember how big the big powered set was from Zone?
Well, that's the one that Orson had at BotCon last year.
Yeah. And I don't remember what he paid for it, but this was, again, a long time ago. And I'm going to say he got it for $450, maybe. I'm sure Brad can correct me next time we see it, but I'm just saying it was something that incredibly, and then you will try going up to somebody and offering $450 for a big powered set now, Brad.
They'll be doing the
Brad, if you had a big powered set, Brad, and someone offered you $450, what would your reaction be?
GTFO.
Would you like just the boxes?
So yeah, it's but see, it's all based on your age. I mean, like Doran and I said, there's stuff that we bought in our youth, or when I was younger anyway, that we'll never replace. If we decide to sell it, and it's like, I hate that, I want to get it back, and I'll never be able to afford it. That's why I've not bought a Minerva. I've never had Minerva, but I can't pay the going prices for her to just yellow on me.
Well, I would love to have a Victory Saber again. I mean, you know, the Masterpiece, I'm going to be happy with that because, you know, it's great. But Overlord, that toy just has to be experienced, in my opinion. You know, it's just got, I mean, he's a brick. I mean, he's a G1, but he's cool. I mean, you got the tank and the jet. You know, we got the little power, double Power Master gimmick. I think the only other thing that had that was Double Dealer, the Double Power Master.
Yeah, and he didn't really pull it off near as impressive.
No. And it was just such an impressive toy. The one I had, I'm wanting to say he was missing one of the shoulder cones and like one of the ramps. I had everything else. And, you know, that really bugs me, especially looking at the going rates for those toys now. I mean, number one, yeah, I sold them back in the day because I needed money to pay for something. And I'm like, wow, if I hadn't had the money and I needed that money now, I could sell one toy and make bank on it, you know? Mm. Heck, my pickup truck right now that I own, I could have sold Overlord, Victory Saber, Death Source, and paid for it in full.
Yeah.
That tells you right there how much they have gone up in price.
Well, that's the one good thing about third party is whether you're on the fence, whether you buy them or not, third party is sometimes going to be your best way of getting representations of the characters. It's like the Carnifex is coming out. That looks like a really great Overlord that you will be able to afford cheaper than any except the most yellowed, incomplete G1 Overlord.
Yeah, Overlord, I'm wanting to say right now you're looking at anywhere, $750 to a grand easily? Would that be fair?
In boxed about $1,000. I remember it was last year's BotCon. I saw one in a dinged up box for $750. So I don't know if that was like a good price. Brett will know, but that's the last that I saw.
If you go on the Facebook pages, they've been selling for $600 cheapest and up. But yeah, you can find them a little cheaper. But I mean, also remember, eBay, they're going to be paying fees, and even at the shows, some people, they like to factor in all their costs for getting there and this, that, and the other, and try and justify why they're jacking prices up, which we're not going to go into that. We can save that for another episode. But basically, I would say $650, $700 is a good price for them.
Yeah.
Well, just to make y'all feel bad, again, this is because I'm old.
I just wanted to say this because I haven't had a lot of time to talk, but I did want to say that the big problem was is just remember, I mean, he was around when plastic was brand new, so this stuff was just new coming out. So
no, it was called sailing. Okay? It was called sailing.
When Don grew up, there was something. People played with things called click wheels and hula hoops and
he had to order his toys through Telegraph.
Yeah,
I'm going to say this one thing. I do have to say this only because I'm going to tell a real quick story. Sorry. This is going to say something about my age, and Don will agree. We had our cable box go out, so we had to get a new one, which means that you have to run up to the store, and they give you a brand new one, this, that, and the other, and they bring it back. And they open the box up, and they give you a brand new remote, which is awesome because it comes with new batteries and, awesome, all that stuff, And I turned to my son, and I said, hand me the clicker. Now, I'm sorry, but Don, you know what a clicker is, right?
Yeah.
It actually clicked at one time.
Yeah. He goes, what? And I was like, God, gee. It aggravated me because it's a clicker. That's what it is. And for anyone that's, you youngins or whatever, believe it or not,
Sergio,
when they first started making these things called remotes for TVs, it was a little box with one little button. And
No, Brett, I've got to stop you right there. The first remote we ever owned in my home was me.
Well, I was going to say, go get the beer, go get this. But the little box had a little button.
I was the first universal remote in the household.
And Don, correct me if I'm wrong, but here you go. You ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah, exactly.
It would go. It'd make a little clicking noise, and that would change the channel. And it would go all the way up through all the channels and then turn the TV off. And if you clicked it again, it would turn it back on, start at one, and go through them again. And that's how you scanned your channels. Yes, it actually went all the way up, turned off, and cycled around again.
Yeah,
it was called a clicker.
Yeah.
And my son looked at me like, are you that stupid? And I'm like, so...
You remember the cable boxes that actually had a wire that went to the television?
Well, don't forget, also, if someone says, hey, man, call me, this isn't because they want you to pick your cell phone up, okay? Call me meant phone. This thing used to have a little wire attached to the wall.
Yeah, I still have a landline. But
do you remember this? Remember this? Yeah. Remember this little thing?
Rotary dials.
Yeah. Does anyone remember Pulse?
I've got a question. Where the hell does Superman change clothes now?
He's fast.
No, I mean, there's no phone booths anymore.
He's fast.
Revolving doors.
Porta-potty.
That became the tree.
Yeah, porta-potty.
Christopher Reeve did the revolving door, but if you remember, when he was jumping off the building to save Lois Lane, he was so fast, he changed before your eyes. So he's that fast. And don't get me started with Superman. Superman's a man. He's awesome. Love Superman. Going back to what you were saying, Don, I'm sorry, I just had to throw my clicker story into there because it just kind of...
I'm sorry, I was using Telegraph to order my next toys, I'm sorry. we're talking, you know, I bought Overlord and the Lyle Kaiser gift set for $150 shipped. This was 1995. So, I mean, it's all based on, like Sergio, you know, it's like you were saying, you know, you want to get stuff that, you know, fits in with your collection. So it's not as important to you as, because you're getting stuff now at you're not really going for the older stuff and paying the bigger prices. You're getting the newer stuff as it comes out. But you're going to face in 20 or 30 years, what we're facing now is the stuff you're getting now, if you want it again and you've sold it, how much are you going to pay then for that piece back? So it's all based on cycles.
And, you know, and that's something that has been brought up a lot of times between me and my friends is any of the stuff that's coming out currently going to be worth anything in the future? You know, vintage will always be vintage. You know, you can't beat G1. G1 will always have value. It might fluctuate, but it will always hold its value. But as we've seen with classics, as we've seen with even Beast Wars and stuff. Yeah, alternators. Other than Masterpiece, I really don't see the current stuff going for prices.
And Masterpiece, with the volume that they're making, other than unless it's some sort of show or exclusive, it's like the other day I went to go pick up my comics at my local comic book store. And it's all Green Lanterns, all I'm reading right now. But on the back in their value boxes, and people that read comics will know this, in a set of $10 or $5.
And there goes Don.
Out.
See again, you know, Don and his dial up internet.
try and get AOL. Him back on.
I can see y'all.
Oh, well, that's good.
There you go.
Your audio completely cut out and your video is frozen. You're looking down like you're lamenting your last
like you're sad at what I said.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I never left. I mean, I could hear y'all everything. No, basically what I'm saying is comics are a good example. Y'all remember when Spider-Man had his anniversary and they had those... Oh, crap.
Does anyone else think he sounds like a droid?
Yeah, you're really pixelating right now.
Hang on, wait a minute.
No, you're back.
There
you're
go.
One with the Matrix.
Okay. So you remember back when Spider-Man had there was issue like 325, and they had the holograms in the center of the cover with the black and the green covers, and every hologram was on one of those. Those were like all the rage, and you had to complete all four sets and get all the holograms. Now you can get three or four in a package of 10 for $5. So you never know what's going to be expensive in the future, what's not. You know, it's a couple years ago I had a DC Classics Atom, which was in a store exclusive that I sold, and I got $80 for it. They did a reissue 2 months later, and the price on that completely bottomed out. So, if they do an encore reissue of, say, Lyle Kaiser, what's that going to do to the original? Again, there's so many factors.
Well, you know, for example, I'm going to look at our Facebook group real quick. Our own Chad Williams, he regrets having to sell his piece together Fort Max, piecing together something we'll talk about here very shortly. But he pieced together a Fort Max, and he put about $1,000 into it. And when he sold it, only got about $450 out of it.
Mm. I'm assuming he pieced it together before the reissue and then sold after.
probably. That's what I'm gathering. Rick Alvarez says he traded away a sealed Grand Maximus for a goodbye Megatron. Don't really regret it, but he financially does. You know, I mean, it's Grand Max for, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what are both of those worth? Both of them are quite
Grand Max sealed. Yeah. You're talking about a good 4,000 or 5,000.
Yeah. So that's a lot of money there. Michael Reeser, he's talking about piecing together things here. When he first started collecting, he would piece together all of his G1 figures, found out it's always more expensive than purchasing a complete figure, although it's far more rewarding to know that you are adding to number of complete Transformers in existence. I kind of agree with that, but also I can disagree at the same time. We'll get to that momentarily. Should have waited on reading that, but Brett, do you have any regrets selling and having to repurchase?
Absolutely none.
None. So you're like Will Kenny. He commented. He says, "Selling Transformers. What is this concept?"
No. I did the old go with the classics. Sell the classics. Go with the alternators, sell the alternators. But I didn't go with all the other, you know, the newer flavor of the month. And I do agree with what Sergio said. I think that the Masterpiece is actually here to stay. I think it's a good line. And I think one of the redeeming factors of it is they limit the number of releases. I don't think that they just flood the market with this, and this. And a perfect example is like Bumblebee or Prowl, to where they released it, and then they released it in the U.S., and they went on clearance automatically. And that kind of, you know, degrades the value of this, that, and the other. So I would say that even a quote-unquote perfect representation, if saturated, is going to, you know, make the market go sour. That's just my opinion.
Let's look, you know, I'm going to use my example right now. And Sergio, I know you were talking a moment ago about you have some things you're eyeing up right now. And you're like, do I want to keep it? Do I not? And these thoughts that we're talking about right now are actually going through our heads. I know they are mine. Number one for me right now, I'm considering selling my Beast collection. I don't have a very large one, but it's not the prime focus of my collection. It's kind of a little niche part of my collection. You know, I like the little weird beasts. I've got a lot. I've got the taco tank, which is the giant octopus. I'm trying to see what that is, but anyway, but I've got, you know, Break the Penguin. I've got, you know, all these the little strange little beasts in my Beast collection. But they really aren't something that I actively go out and hunt on a regular basis. You know, if I'm at a convention or find one at a good price, I'm like, you know, I'll pick that up, you know. But right now, I'm like, you know, do I really need those? They're taking up two or three shelves of my collection space.
Well, which one did you get? Did you get the waterfall?
I got the diver with Niagara.
Okay, base. That one.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you think, that was a wonderful pickup.
It is, yeah.
That is such an extremely hard to get item.
And it's dead mint, too.
And I mean, you can't find it.
Yeah.
I can tell you that both of those sets, what was the other one? The Volcano?
No, Volcano, and then the other one, yeah.
Those two, I still don't have, and they're pretty rare.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know we were talking about piecing together, and well, we're getting to that, and why we get rid of stuff. But also remember, just like you guys said before, when you come across something, especially something like that, and even though it's a beast, you know, Beast Wars, newer, whatever you want to call it, that's a hard item to find. If you find it for a good price, pick it up. I mean, pick it up. They're so hard to find. So there are items out there, even all the way up until I'm sure. And you know me, I don't know much about Combiner Wars and all this new stuff, but I'm sure there's rare items too that when you see them, you pick them up. So, if nothing else from this episode, at least in that portion of where we're at, if you see something that just you know, one of those things, it's too good to be true, I've never seen it before, or whatever, and if you can afford it, pick it up.
Yeah, that was the whole reason I got the taco tank.
That's an amazing piece. I have one. I love it. It's so big, and
it takes up a good portion of a shelf. Yeah,
it does. It does take up a big portion. Right there. Yeah, but if no one has ever seen it, it is just a huge squid.
Yeah,
with a bicycle.
I remember the very first time I ever saw it was at Orson's house, and I'm like, "What the hell is that?" I didn't know what it was. I'd never seen it before. But once I found out what it was and that it was actually a Transformer, and it actually has ties to, I believe, Microman. I'm like, this thing is awesome. And I actually located a sealed one for about $160. And I'm like, I've got to get that. And then went to a convention like the next weekend and found another sealed one for $200. So,
you know,
yeah.
I've had two of them and I got both of them for around $100. $160 is good. $200, not so much. But even at $150, $160, I'd pick up another one.
Yeah.
They're that good. Mm-hmm. Well, they're so rare and goofy looking that, especially those play sets. Those play sets are just so, and they're not really much. They're just a little piece of plastic with some extra details, and I think they come with a little extra accessories.
Well, the waterfall actually works. The diver with Niagara Base, you can actually put water in it, and it's an actual working waterfall.
Right, but the volcano, I think it had little, they remind me of, I thought they were like Dragon Ball Z balls or whatever, and it had a bunch of goofy stuff, but still, the whole set in and of itself, and if anyone doesn't understand the little, how do I put it, the little details like that, try and find a Diaclone Devastator set with the playmat and the sand and all the buildings intact, and you're going to be paying a lot of money.
I've only seen that in pictures. I've never actually seen one in person. If I did, I didn't recognize it. But
yeah, but you're talking like they had a little baggie. It's a little baggie of blue crystals. It kind of looked like what was the. Yeah. Yeah, what was the name of that show on
Breaking Bad?
Yeah, it looked just like that. And that was their little, they would have the shovel pick up there. But regardless, that would make the set complete. And to have all those little bitty stupid things together, I mean, you're talking about an expensive piece to get everything together. So these sets like you're talking about, I could see that in the future. Hey, I got the waterfall. Hey, I've got the little figure, but I don't have this that came with it or that that came with it.
I've still got the box that it came in. So, yeah. I mean, the thing is that, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm contemplating clearing out some parts of my collection. And it's like that whole shelf that's right behind me right here.
Remember, we can't see.
Huh. Yeah, your camera's off.
We can't see you. They can,
well,
but we can't.
The viewers who are viewing can. But right. The whole shelf right behind me, that whole shelf is possibly up for grabs, and then I've got another shelf that's even more packed. What's that?
Your Beast Wars shelf?
Yeah, and
don't forget we have people that listen to this on audio too.
Yeah. Well, since we haven't changed subject, I was kind of I mentioned it earlier.
That's okay. I'm just.
But anyway,
I'm trying to catch up. Still.
I'm trying to figure out. You know, a lot of this stuff, like the taco tank, like the Niagara base with diver, they have value. And I'm like, okay, I'm wanting to clear up space for more masterpiece style, you know, I got a lot of stuff that I want to pay for. So it's not like I want to sell it to pay for bills. I want to replace it with other figures. But I'm like, I don't want to sell it and then regret it down the road and have to go back like I did my Death Source and have to pay a premium price. And like you said there, Brett, you know, I mean, those are, you know, they're quirky, weird, uncommon figures. You know, that, and I've also got the God Neptune that that Don helped me to get last year. You know, great, great, great toy.
Well, just, I think that you, how do I put this? There are certain things that you shouldn't get rid of. And those, just about all the pieces that you said you shouldn't. If you talk about them in such great detail and such warmth and earnest, you know, wanting of these, you shouldn't get rid of them. And the main reason is because later you're going to regret them. If it's a figure you went, yeah, I wanted to get the whole line, and I felt compelled to get this figure, then yeah, get rid of it. You know what I'm saying? You know, if it means that much to you,
out of all my beast stuff, out of all my beast stuff, excuse me, my drink went down the wrong way. I would have to say that my Taco Tank, my Niagara Base, my God Neptune, and my Shokaract are probably, they are easily my, well, and my Clear Beast Convoy are the most valuable ones in my collection as far as my beast figures. And everything else is a little more common and not as expensive. Break is probably the most expensive small figure out of that. You usually can't find a break for under $30 for whatever reason. But you know, if I'm trying to sell for, and this is my line of thinking. If I'm trying to sell to clear up space, all of those figures that I just mentioned are generally bulky.
Yes.
The Taco Tank is not small. The Niagara Base is not small. I don't have room to display it with the playmat, but the playmat is huge too.
I would show you what the Taco Tank looked like, but it is literally back in that corner, taking up about this much to this much space.
It takes
a lot of space.
Let you guys put your two cents in, and I'll grab mine real quick, and I'll turn my camera on so we can talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see, ahead, one thing, Brett, is I'm sort of the exact opposite of what you're talking about. I know the Taco Tank is a very impressive figure. I've seen it. One of my best friends, Blade Raider, on one of the boards I'm on, actually was able to finally. That's one of his holy grails, and I'm glad he recently got it for a very good price. But if I saw an incomplete Taco Tank and I needed to complete this or that and this, I probably would pass it up because
I agree with you on that.
That's why I haven't bought a Minerva body, or I haven't bought, you know, a part of Dino King, or this, is finding these other pieces on some of these figures to complete would be an absolute nightmare, finding the pieces in the first place. And then you're going up against everyone else that has been lucky enough to find a shell or a foot, or they need Minerva's antenna guns or whatever the case may be. And I do not want to go through that trying to piece this together, because it's going to drive me insane.
Okay. I got you. Here, yeah. We're quick, Don. What I want you to do is just go ahead and keep that going. Sergio, Duran, do that. I'm going to grab something. It's actually a toy. Don't get scared. that I did piece together, and you're going to find it quite amazing. And unfortunately, I'm going to turn my camera off because I don't want you to look at my butt while I'm doing that. So I got to figure out how to do that.
Us and the viewers, thank you.
Yeah. Exactly. So I'm going to do that. So you can't see me now. which is me, you know, doing obscene gestures, this, that, and the other. But it doesn't matter. Anyway, I want to go ahead and go grab that real quick. Go ahead.
Well, you know, and this is to show you what I'm considering selling. And you know, we've been sitting here talking about it. And this is for you video viewers who are watching this. I know it's a little bit difficult to see it in your head if you're not sure what I'm talking about, if you're listening on the audio version. And I'll try to be as descriptive as possible. But these things, I mean, I love them so much. And I don't know if I want to get rid of them, but they're great. Everybody has seen this guy here, and this is Icard, or Icard. He is essentially a redeco, a white and blue redeco of Beast Wars Clawjaw. Yeah, he in and of himself is not spectacular, but the only way to get him is with this gorgeous beauty right here. This is the Taco Tank. He is a enormous red and gray
squid,
octopus, squid tank that Icard actually interacts with.
Show him the bike. Yeah. Show him the bike.
Yeah, you split the head open here.
Does it shoot delicious tacos?
Yeah.
No, but okay. You rip it open like you do the brain. You
split
brain.
Open the head of the octopus, and then this part raises out, and the center of the octopus head raises out, and then it folds down.
Hover,
and then turns around and becomes a bike.
Oh, that is so. That is so Kamen Rider too.
Yeah, it becomes a bike for
it's awesome.
And it's got these little guns that like flip out, and it's got little missiles in there.
You know, the funny part is when you turn it the other way, take the little things and flip them around so they're like little turbines, like lifting up.
Yeah. You're,
me of Mazinger, and you think there's no Shogun Warrior,
kind of like that.
Cranium would lift up, yes, and it had two little turbines that would lift the brain up, and that's where the driver was. And I saw that, and I was like, "Gotta have it." It took me forever to find one.
Yeah, it's an awesome figure. It's just I would hate to have to complete that sucker.
Well, here's what I wanted to say. Are we going to go into the piecing and this, that, and the other yet? You blacked out. I can't hear you.
Not just yet.
No, oh, there you go. All right. Then I'm just going to start off by saying this. I got this guy by piecing them together. Okay?
It's Dyclone... Who?
A white Lambo.
What? Oh, wow.
Okay. And I'll explain that story when we go into our next segment. But getting back to what we were talking about, as far as selling certain items, I mean, I had a full collection of, and don't hiss at me too loud, Beast Machines. And I sold that. I had a full collection of alternators. I sold those. So I do understand having to drop things down, and I always call it about reorganizing. You're redirecting or reorganizing your collection for whatever reason. You know, if it's because of space, which is what my biggest problem is, money, or just because you're just sick of looking at it and you want to change it. Yeah, hi, how you doing? Hi. So. I understand all that, but everyone has a reason, and at some point, and we had this discussion before, if you remember, we had an episode that we did entirely to getting out, and what do you do when you get out? And everyone has their reasons for getting out, you know, I'm done with it, financial, health, whatever, you know, all that stuff. Kind of goes hand in hand. If you're just redirecting or minimizing or whatever, everyone has a reason for it. And does, you know, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. Because the other thing is to remember, the thing to remember is try and go out on top, you know, quote unquote. You want to sell your classics right before they become defunct, but then there's also there's other people that want them that are waiting for them to become defunct so they can buy them. So you're kind of helping the community, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Okay, that.
This here.
That thing is bad. I'm telling you, I that one in the volcano, I really, really want.
Yeah, this for the audio viewers, I'm holding up the Diver with Niagara Bass. Diver is essentially a remolded
slapper
slash
Spitor.
Spitor. He's green. A really bright, brilliant
neon green. Green. It's awesome.
Yeah. Of course, the front of the Niagara Bass here. You fill this little basin here with water, and there's actually a motor in there that pumps it up to this upper part here, and then overflows and then flows down here, makes a little waterfall. And then, of course, in the back, you have this odd little bass back here that's actually out of scale.
Yeah, he doesn't fit.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It looks like there's a bathroom in there.
Well, no, all that water, you got to go.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, he's got all these little things here. He's got the little launching missiles up here.
Let me ask you this. In that one base, how many pieces are connected to that base? I would actually get lost.
Let's see here. You got one, two, three, four. Four little plant pieces. Actually, a fifth one if you consider the little trap here. The Venus flytrap. But actually, it's three pieces because the center part is actually you connect the two jaws to it, so they come separately when you open the package. Then, of course, you have the missiles and the missile launcher. Yeah, so there's another gun down here on the side. So there's a number of little pieces that are.
So you explain to me, Duron, explain to me how easy, and I mean in the easy term, not the hard, because that's easier. How easy it would be to complete that when most of the pieces you just talked about don't even look like Transformer pieces and people would kick them aside and throw them in bins and you would never see them again. How easy would that be to piece one together?
It would be exceedingly difficult because for the simple reason this was a limited Japanese only.
I wouldn't even go with that because you wouldn't believe how many rare stuff I find simply because it doesn't look like Transformers. You know? I mean, just something goofy doesn't look like a Transformer, so it gets kicked into the Power Rangers lot or the Sectors lot or the G.I. Joe lot, and you find it that way. Which, by the way, for our viewers, that's a wonderful way of finding weird and interesting Transformer toys is look those things up. I'm not going to say it again because I don't want to give all my secrets away. But anyway, you know, I mean, you have all that thing. So that's something that you don't expect Transformers, plants, little plant pieces and stuff like that. So I would think that it would be extremely hard to find, even if that thing was sold mass over here.
For example, Blade Raider, one of our viewers on YouTube right now, he just commented a short while ago. He asked me if my taco tank or if my Icard has slanted beast eyes. They both seem to have the same slant on them, so I think that's the what you're asking.
Hey, well, I hope that wasn't racist, but that's okay.
What's that?
I hope that wasn't racist. That's okay.
No, but he also commented that it took him 10 years to find the taco tank. I actually pointed him in the right direction, and he thanked me for that. But it took him 10 years to find this thing here.
Exactly. Now, the funny part was, is the only reason that I have one, because I looked at it and went, it's kind of neat, is because my wife, who you saw on the previous episode, said, that thing is awesome. I want it. So, at which point, you have to find it. And I found it. And I actually found two. So, I mean, it's a neat piece. It's kind of hard to find. But, and 100% it's going to cost you some money. It's not going to be a $20 or $30 toy, no matter how you look at it.
So. Christian Russell on Facebook says, I related to what Don said about selling stuff you'll never be able to get back. I sold my BotCon 2006 Megatron last year to help pay for my real-life Revenge of the Fallen Jolt, an actual Chevy Volt. It was a hard decision because I'll never pay what it would take to get it back, but I've been okay with my decision for over a year.
You know, but look at what he picked up afterwards.
Yeah, he got an actual car. And you know,
he says right there, he says afterwards, he says he picked up a sealed X9 Ravage and a BotCon 95 pack right in a box for $75.
Yeah.
Way to go. Why? Because you waited and you wait for the right time and you'll find it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Outstanding.
But, you know, that's also something you have to deal with. You know, I mean, I think that if I waited another anywhere between 2 to 5 years, and Death Source's price would be completely unacceptable for me to pay if I would wanted to try to go back and get one. Because they just keep going up and up and up and up.
Well, Let me ask you this. What do you think the going price is for one right now?
For a Death Source?
In the box.
Sealed in a box, probably anywhere between $800 and $1,500.
For sealed?
For sealed.
Yeah, you're going to be more than that. You'll be over $1,000.
Jeez.
For a sealed one?
I've seen one in a shitty box for $800 before.
Correct. But
generally, I've seen them around $1,500 sealed.
Right. Sealed, they go for big money. Anything Japanese sealed goes for big money right now.
Here's one thing I'm going to bring up. This might be a topic for us own discussion later on, Duran. We're talking about replacing figures that you're going to a toy show and finding it. That's not counting if all you have to pick from or your choices include AFA graded figures.
So
not only are you having to find a replacement, more and more of these older toys are being AFA graded and sealed forever in Forever Night. That's my new word, Forever Night. Because these boxes are like never to be opened, never to be touched. You look at it, and that's all you can do with it.
Would you pay that much for a toy and then turn around, I'm not going to open it?
Here's the thing. I'm just saying let's say Sergio sells a figure this year, and in 30 years, the only thing he can find that he can afford is an AFA graded figure of that character. He may not care about opening it, but it's wanting that figure back in your collection. Even if you remember what it was like to transform, you remember all that. You just want the figure back in your collection or for nostalgia's sake. But if all you have is AFA graded, you're paying even more on top of that. So you need to consider what's going to be available.
If I'm going to open something other, if I'm going to pay a lot of money to open something other, it's not going to be AFA graded. Because you can find something non-AFA graded.
Oh,
Blade Raider says he would, though.
I know Blade. I know he would. But I'm just saying, you're going to have to count into the fact that on these really rare pieces, that may be all that's out there is these super high-end pristine boxes, AFA-graded sealed ones, so that you may not be able to find one that you can open. I'm just saying, you never know.
Now, real quick, before we move on to piecing things together, Sergio, let's kind of help you a little bit. What are you thinking about selling, and what are your thought processes on it? I just talked about my beast stuff. Here's what I have that I'm considering selling, and what are your thoughts on what you're looking at?
I am having the same issues with you with space. I have a very limited space in my house. The other day I did clear some space in the basement, and I plan on buying some Detolfs from IKEA after TFCon. But right now I currently have my complete Showcast Prime line all in storage. And I've been going back and forth on whether or not to sell it because I've been checking and certain figures have shot up in price. Some figures like Breakdown are still going for the prices they were going for. And I've just been contemplating back and forth, you know. It's a great toy line with some really great toys in it, but at the end of the day, does it really have a place with my collection where 90% is based off of G1 characters? So I don't know. I've been thinking about that. You know, should I sell now before the price bubble bursts and becomes like Animated, where you can find stuff for dirt cheap? Where at a time, Animated was going for like a lot of money. So I don't know. I'm really contemplating it right now.
It's kind of on that classic bubble, I want to call. You know, because classics there for a long time, they were, you know, relatively inexpensive. Then they got really super white hot. And then, you know, a lot of them were going for really high prices. And then, you know, Ultra Magnus and Skywarp. And now you can get Ultra Magnus and Skywarp for what, Brett? You know, $25-$30, if that. You know, I mean, they're dirt cheap again. You know, so the bubble burst on those. Like you said, Animated went through that. And I see Prime doing the same thing. I don't really see some other lines doing that, but, you know, could be wrong.
Yeah, goes earlier to what I said. It's just you really can never know about the market.
It actually boils down to what are you trying to sell and what's it worth? And most importantly, what's it worth to you to have that space and have something else to fill it? Is that the do you guys agree that that's the crux of what we're talking about here?
Well, for some.
Yeah. And also, I think you need to add to that, Dern, in my opinion, can you live with this decision?
I'll be the first to admit, whenever I sold my Deathsaurus and everything back 2006-ish or so, my Deathsaurus, my Overlord and everything, for about a year, 2 years after that, you know, I'm like, you know, they were cool toys. I don't miss them all that much. But it wasn't till, you know, I'm going back, looking at, and a lot of it came from more and more refocusing, like what Brett was talking about a while ago, refocusing of my collection. And, you know, I'm not by any means a completist anymore. I'm going and getting the toys that really leaps out to me that I like. You know, they fit in a certain category, like my Masterpieces, you know, my Combiner Wars, Titan Returns. Those figures are important to me now. But I'm also collecting, like, vintage toys. I'm going back and looking at toys that really appeal to me for one reason or another, be it nostalgia reasons, I just thought they were cool. And then that's whenever I rediscovered, as it were, my Death Source, you know. And you guys went through the whole chronicle with me. I was like, man, I had it. I wish I had it again. And now I've got it and the other version of that mold in Red Geist. So, you know, I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, so is that, and also when I first started collecting, Prime was the first line where I completed it. I have pretty much a complete RID line minus like the Legends figures or the Cyberverse figures. So to me, that kind of holds a special place where it's like, oh, you know, this started me off to where I am now. But you know, it's just at the same time, with the money that I'd get for that, I could buy, you know, better figures that I want now. So, I don't know. It's hard to let go of things because you've put so much time and effort and, you know, hours at work in order just to afford these things. So, selling them off, it's like, you know, it's really hard because it all hits you all at once. It's like, man, you know, when I first got this, I was extremely happy that I found one.
I disagree with you in that you add your time. And The main reason I say that is because you can't really add that. If you enjoy what you're doing and you enjoy collecting it at the time, even if it's something that you don't want now, if you enjoyed it at the time, you really can't add that. I run into this a lot, and this is coming from a dealer's point of view. You get people that come up and say, I have this, and I value it at this because this is what my brother gave me on my 10th birthday, and it means so much to me. And you know what the first thing that comes out of my mouth is keep it. Because it has more sentimental value than what I would appraise it at. So your time, your sentimental value, all that stuff needs to be separate. It really does. It's not a secret. I do like Transformers. Ooh, a dealer that actually likes it. Holy crap! Woo! I do. And I spend an enormous amount of time, as my wife, an enormous amount of time doing this stuff, but I enjoy it. Does that mean that when I go to sell this one little piece that I say, hey, I spent 10 hours researching this and this and that, and yeah, blah, blah, I'm going to put that into the price of this? No, because I enjoy doing it. So you really can't add that to the value of a toy, in my opinion.
To me it's part of the hunt, part of the thrill.
I love that. Now what he's saying, sorry, Don, but what he's saying, I absolutely love. I love that part. But go ahead.
Because I've tried to make it a point, and everyone knows that I like to wheel and deal and get the best possible price. I mean, everyone, y'all see me in the dealer.
You're cheapskate.
You see me in the dealer room. Well, Duran, you and Brett have seen me in the dealer room. You know how I operate. The guys on RFC, they see me with a little bit of fear in their eyes when I get in the dealer's room at BotCon. But that's my environment. And I'm happy to say a lot of the stuff that I have, I've wheeled, I've dealed, I've sold, I've traded. So I have less than retail in a lot of things that I have. A lot of it I don't, but some that I do. And so the money that I've paid is not near as much as if I paid standard retail and just ate it out of my whatever I make from work. But I still put the time in. I hunted for it. I loved it. I dove in boxes. I looked in corners. It's like Sundays at BotCon. Yeah, that's when you check every cubby hole, every corner, every place.
Right, but when you went to assess a value on something, you wouldn't add that.
No, I mean, I wouldn't.
Because you enjoy it.
Yeah, because it was part of the hunt. But it's like, but now I have to look at, I paid X. X may be less than retail, but I still paid X. I would like to get Y for it based on this is what it's going for now. This is what I think it's worth. If I don't sell it, I'm not going to be that upset because I can keep it and then try selling it later.
Exactly.
But you sort of have to separate what Brett was saying. Yeah, if you factor in the cost of going to BotCon and you were trying to sell things to pay for that BotCon, yeah, you have to kind of work that, like, I need to sell X number of pieces to afford this Primus package.
And there are people that do that, but go ahead.
Yes, so you would have to incorporate, this Primus package is costing me $500. I need to sell these 20 figures. I need to get this much money to cover this Primus package. That is when you start attaching value, specific values to certain things that you need to get to pay for that. But you can't count, I need to sell this Beast Machines Night Scream because it took me forever to find one. It's one of my favorite pieces.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, this is a jack. This is a hypothetical situation.
I thought it was Supreme Cheetor, but go ahead.
No, it's hypothetical. So, I mean, it may have taken you 2 years to find that, which, again, you got it. You loved it. It was yours.
Exactly.
But you can't say my time is worth X.
Right.
Because that and 50 Cent will get you a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
Or a bad rap album.
I can't.
I see what you did there, Al.
Exactly. I can't stress that enough. Now going on to, are we going to segue into?
Yeah. Let's go into the.
Okay. So, I don't remember who it was, but someone had talked about doing a segment on piecing things together, piecing G1, whatever, piecing Transformers together to make them complete. And I said, oh my God, I got to be on this. I got to be here. And so here we are. So it's because of me. So, you know, yell at me. I'm a half hour late. Doesn't matter. I'm here now. You know, deal with it. Anyway.
And you're showing off your guns for all the viewers there.
Look, I got here as quick as I could. This is what I was wearing. It's hot. All right? All right. So you're lucky I have shorts on. Would you like to see?
No.
Okay. All right. Please, so.
No, the FCC does have communication and decency standards in place.
I mean, if Don has to put his shirt on before we go on air, then...
I did not say that. He did.
I thought we were starting at 9, and I was not completely ready yet.
I'll
be honest, Don. Whenever you popped on the video, I thought the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man was attacking me.
That's quite a sight.
I just sat there and I was thinking about the biggest, most gentle thing that couldn't possibly hurt me, and then. Boom, there it was on my screen, you know.
Don?
The photo bucket all over again.
Don, I'm going to wait till you can see. All right. I do have extra, okay? I have extras, all right, if you wish.
I have great Goldoran that shoots 35 missiles. I can die by choking with no problem at all.
I was going to say, but a 44 will do it better. But that's okay.
But then you would get all my stuff.
Yes. Anyway, all right. So one of my great piece together stories, which I love, is this guy right here.
He's way too happy.
I'm happy about this.
I would be too.
All right. This is a white. They call it a white Lambo or a white number 3, which is the white. Sunstreaker mold with the driver and boxed, and I acquired this from someone on Facebook, which I'm telling you right now, Facebook is wonderful. Get your groups, be happy to your groups and your admin this, that, and the other, and make friends. But
don't be a Richard.
No,
don't be a Richard.
Don't be a Richard.
All right, now if you look. I am one missile, it's a shoulder missile, away from a complete white Lambo, whatever you call it. Anyway.
He is white. He is not yellow.
It's basically the Sunstreaker police type is what it is.
It is. But yeah. When I got this, it had nothing. I pieced together everything else. Two authentic white fists, one authentic shoulder missile, the actual correct with the white missiles, and the driver. And I did that by piecing it together. So,
where did you find this?
Honestly, the fists and one missile or shoulder missile, those were the hardest pieces, of course. They came from a Japanese auction. And a buddy said, hey, I'm thinking about buying this. What do you think? And I looked and I scoured and I went, it's got those pieces I need. And I said, get it and I'll pay you this. So I had a friend in Japan who bought a Japanese auction and I won that. So having friends all over the world definitely helps. But going back to what I said, piecing together. Now, do you have any idea what this thing is worth? Even with the one missile missing.
Probably about $600.
Try a lot more.
I would say probably with it being, well, Diaclone and not yellow with the driver and the chrome missiles, I'm guessing around $2,000.
Close to $2,000.
What?
Wow.
I would put it about 15 to 16 because of the missiles missing, this, that, and the other. But even at that, I have about $400 in this.
Yeah.
And that's because people looking out for me. Yeah. You piecing it together means so much. It's unreal. I'll give you another one. And this is, I'm going to revert to my dealer status because I am looking for this. But I picked this up, okay? Really, really nice. But guess what it's missing?
Guns.
The guns. So I picked up a gun. So I'm one closer. $10. And I need one more. So I'll have this complete because I'm going to wait and piece it together. And this is very, very nice.
And, you know, I feel that it's easier to piece certain vintage figures.
Some. Correct. But yes.
Because, you know, Brett has been helping me piece out a couple figures. He recently helped me piece out I was missing some rotor blades for my movie Blackout. And he helped me find some. But I realized just how hard it is for more modern figures. You would think that it'd be easier, but I found it quite the opposite. When I was trying to piece together a couple Beast Wars figures, it took me about a year just to find a couple missiles.
Well, because one of the things I started doing, and except for friends, I really don't sell new stuff. I really don't. And I hate to be this way, and this is going to be one of those instances where you're going to look at the dealer and go, spoo. as a dealer, I'm kind of sitting on this stuff. I'm sitting on a lot of it. You know, I got a couple totes full of that stuff. And I'm just going to – and I want to wait until it matures. But if you need it, you know, I let you have it. You're a friend of mine, this, that, and the other. But I do because this is the stuff I deal with. Because I'm you know, trading, selling this, that, and the other. And right now, I like this one. I'm waiting for a nice box for it because it's nice and clean. And once I put it together, I pieced it together, and it will be nice and clean. So, but that's D1. But getting back to what you were saying, the newer stuff, there's a lot of guys that just, they either sell it, and this is, you're at a great time. Look for people that don't care. Look for people that don't care because they sell that stuff dirt cheap.
They're desperate.
Honestly, I swear to you, I'll find totes of RID, animated, Armada parts. Whole box, $20. I'm going to buy it because I will take it back and put it with the rest of my stuff and sit on it. Because, and I hate to say this, like I said, it makes me feel bad, but a couple of years, that's your G1.
It's your G1. Well, I mean, this year is Armada's anniversary. And for a lot of people, that was their, like you said, that was their Generation 1.
Exactly.
And just like our Generation 1, missiles are going to go missing. Minicons are going to go missing. The fun's going to go missing. No, the fun already left for Armada. But
remember where you go to.
Well, Michael Turner on Facebook commented, "I totally regret selling my Armada Starscream and my Energon Scream and Generations Astrotrain, Sideswipe, and Sunstreaker." So, yes, those figures are now becoming regrets. Selling.
Yeah, the other day, a friend of mine who isn't into Transformers, he held up a bag full of Minicons, and he's like, is this worth anything? And looking through them, it's like, you know, if you piece this out, you might be able to complete somebody's Armada figures, you know, get some deep, okay money for it.
All right, I'm looking real quick. Who was it that said that? Because I'm looking.
Michael Turner. It was in the Talk Transformers group.
Okay. Let him know that in the grand scheme of things, with all the crappy figures they had there, he didn't do too bad by getting rid of them. So he's okay right now. So just tell me he's okay.
Everything will be okay.
Well, it's going to be all right.
You know, piecing together figures, I think the most recent figure that I've pieced together back at TF Expo in Wichita this year, I picked up the Duocon Flywheels. was missing his weapon, his one little rifle, he was incomplete, and he's a little bit stiff to put together once you press it together and then it springs into action. Cleaned out the springs a little bit and the joints, and he works pretty good now. Gave $5 for him at TF Expo. Got home, went on eBay, did a search for Duocon flywheels. One of the very first things that popped up was his weapon. $2.50. So, yes, well, $7.50 a complete flywheels.
All right, real quick. We had a listener, and I am horrible. Anthony Mercuro. He said, "Hey, Brett, I just wanted to thank you for helping me complete about 20 G1 figures. I was a guy who couldn't find you at TFCon Toronto. Thanks again." Well, find me. I give you a better deal in person. I mean, God dang it. Find me. I'm going to be at TFCon Chicago. From what I understand, a couple of our sponsors, who I'm sure Don will mention, are going to be there as well.
We've already mentioned them, actually.
I'm late. Do it again. I don't care. Anyway, we're going to be there, all right? We're going to be at Chicago. And if you need anything, come see us. If not, you can see us on our websites. There you go. Sorry, I had a rampant raid.
So, yeah. Toys.
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 All right. I guess I have kind of I'm going the reverse here. There's not been many figures I've pieced together. Most of the ones I got loose. About the only one I can really tell you that I can remember off the top of my head is many years ago, we had a chain of stores here in the South called Zayers.
Yes.
Oh, I love Zayers.
I remember.
Yes, he had Zayers.
Yes, Zayers. And I was going through the toy department, and there was a Target Master Sure Shot. Someone had taken out of the box. The box was gone. It was just sitting on the shelf. And I asked the store manager, I asked the manager, I said, "Sir, this is a Transformer figure y'all carry. The rest of it's gone, but I was wondering how much it would be because I can't find another one." He said, $5. Okay, I'll take that. I went and gave the cashier $5 and left. 4 years later, I finally found a Spoil Sport in a pot and a thing full of mixed toy parts, Hot Wheels cars, Lego bricks, for $0.25.
Wow.
So I had a complete Sure Shot and Spoil Sport for $5.25. But my big thing
exactly.
on piecing together, yeah. My big thing on piecing the yeah. My big thing on piecing together, though, on RFC, when we lost our friend J.D. Church about 2-3 years ago, his wife sent me his collection that I still have a fair amount of. I was piecing together his toys to his parts. This is a professional shout-out to TFU Info. Thank you, guys. I can't tell you how many hours I spent on the website trying to match up figures to parts, because most of it is Armada. But what I have left is of JD's stuff is Armada, Energon, and Cybertron. And I am trying to match up missiles with figures and mini-cons with partners. And I still have a lot of that stuff, but again, with it being AEC, it's just not going to bring that much right now. Because everything I sell goes right to his widow. But, you know, that's what I've been having to do is, you know, I've asked Brett about a couple of pieces as well. It's just there's so much stuff that goes with so many characters, and it's that's why I don't really do it for my own stuff, because it'll drive me crazy trying to hunt for this stuff and check. And I have the drive to collect these figures, obviously, but I don't want to go through 10,000 different forums at AllSpark or T-Formers or Facebook news groups or auction sites overseas to try to find this part and that part. I don't want to kill myself trying to make these things complete. And that's why I usually don't buy any figures that I would have to do a lot of completionist to make it right. It's like Brett's Dyclone. I could not, my patience would not let me sort through Taibo, Yahoo Japan, news groups, forum sites, Facebook pages. I could not, I wouldn't enjoy it anymore. It would be like work trying to complete this figure when I could spend maybe not much more and just buy the figure complete. Because I got very little hair left. I want to keep what's left.
Yeah, I was just screen sharing while you were talking there about that. The TFU.info website. And
yeah,
I want to give the guys over there a shout out for a great resource for collectors. If you're trying to identify a Transformer, you know, even me is, and I'm sure Brett, with as old as he is, and you, Don, you know, there's times that that you know we'll have toys that cross our paths that we're not quite sure what that character's name is. You know, we know it's a Transformer, but you know, I've got a MicroMaster somebody gave me up here. I can't remember for the life of me what its name is because
there's so many damn MicroMasters. Don't show it.
Yeah.
Don't show it.
Yeah. Well, no, I've got a Titan class is what I've got. But anyway, you know, I've got a MicroMaster up there. I there's so many MicroMasters, I can't remember the names of them. I remember most of the names of the ones I had as a kid because those are the ones I played with as a kid. But there's so many other MicroMasters, I don't know all their names. And it's great to have a resource like TFU.info.
Yeah.
Big shout out to those guys for that website. Really handy. You can search by color, search by subgroup, search by faction, whatever you're looking for. You can identify it.
Yeah. Here's the worst thing about piecing something together, in my opinion. Missiles.
Mm.
Guns are pretty, guns you can tell. Oddball pieces like Trailbreaker's force field projector or World's guns, you know, stuff like that you can do. It's the missiles that always drive me crazy if I'm having to find a replacement because there are so many different missiles that fit so many different figures that get reused across the board. It's just, yeah. I mean, if it's something specific like, say, Dreadwing. If you're trying to piece together a Dreadwing or any one of his recolors, those missiles are pretty obvious.
Well, a good example too, and you got to be careful. We just were talking about Overlord earlier. Does he not use the exact same missiles that Metroplex uses in Metro Titan?
I don't know, to be honest.
I believe the long black missiles, I believe, are identical. Mm-hmm. To the Metroplex and Metro Titan missiles. Brett might be able to answer that. I don't know.
I'm going to say yes, because it's not the Overlord missiles. The Overlord missiles are different than the Metroplex missile. So I'm going to say yes.
Are they very similar, though? Because I've seen people using one or the other.
Correct. They will work, but there's difference in the heads are different. So you asked.
One head's a little bit more rounder and the other one's
one
flat.
Head's bigger than the other. That's all I'm gonna say. All right.
Yeah. It was sort of like getting seeker missiles. If someone put a gun to my head and said, Tell me which missile this goes to what seeker, I'd be like, pull the trigger. I have no idea which missile goes with which
seeker. You have to go with the color, because the color is a big giveaway for those.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if they're all black, or if they're all one color,
what seeker missiles are all black?
Skywarp?
No.
Yes.
But his missiles are not identical to... His missiles are identical in shape to Thundercracker and Starscream.
Now, whoa. G1, yes. Everything is specific. But a lot of people have familiarized themselves with G1 to where they know this stuff. But you start branching outwards. I mean, I'm telling you, you get to Armada, and Cybertron, I'm lost. Mm. There's some of those missiles I'm like, I have no idea. So,
yeah. And then using like TFU info, it's like, you know, well, how many red missiles are out there? You
can feel exactly.
And they're,
well,
they're,
let me ask you this. Wait a minute. Yeah. Sergio, when you asked me for those blades, you said, send me a picture. Why? Because you're like, he might be right, he might be wrong. You know, I mean.
Yeah, because there's
black, mold, gray, and I mean, there's.
Yeah, every time that mold was used, it had a different gray plastic used. So exactly. It's like you got to make sure that you're getting the right ones whenever.
Yeah, the blackout version versus the evac version.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's because that, you know. In newer lines, they did. They took the same mold and they reused it. That's great. That's good for them. But for someone that's trying to piece something together, the same gun might have been molded in three different colors of plastic for three different toys. So,
yeah, well,
it makes for a conundrum. So
well,
there
were times when I was trying to piece together stuff, and I'm still running into it from time to time, that this missile would be somewhere to like four missiles, and I have to count like how many notches does it have on the front, or is the fin the same shape, or how is it notched in the back to fit into the launcher? You know, it's like, and it's just like, God, one day I did it for like 4 hours straight. And I pieced together maybe 10 missiles to 10 figures. And I had to stop because my eyes were just whoop.
And Brett brought up a good point, is when you're piecing something, you got to make sure you're getting the right part. I've made the mistake before where I'm trying to piece together a G1 Devastator, which Brett helped me get some parts. But I made the mistake of accidentally buying the G2 parts from another seller. Because I wasn't paying clear attention and, you know, oh, hey, purple. But I wasn't looking really close and I accidentally bought the different purple.
And it's funny you should mention that because I've had two dealings with someone and they asked me for Seeker Wings for one of them was for a Skywar, Thundercrack or whatever. And they said, I just need the left and right rudder. So, of course, I said, anyone?
G1?
Nope.
Or G2?
Nope. Small or large? There were small or large pegs for the rudders for all Seekers in G1. And they will not fit. You have to, if you have a vertical fin for a large, you need a large rudder. If you had a vertical fin for a small, you need a small rudder. So I said, small or large? And he went, what? And there goes the problem. You have to know what you're wanting.
Yeah, you got to do your homework.
Exactly. And it's okay because we worked it out. But people don't know that. They think, oh, G1, I want a left rudder for Skywarp G1. There's two of them. Which one do you need based upon which vertical fin you need or you have to make it work? So, yes. And then you wouldn't want – and it sounds goofy. You wouldn't want a large over here and a small over here, so you want them to be together. So what do you have? And it's just – it's cohesiveness.
Yeah. And, I see that.
But yes.
I actually ran into that issue several years ago whenever I had my original G1 Skywarp that I had as a kid. You remember the Ford LTD?
Yes.
Yeah. I figured you would. Well, my parents had
my mom had one. Yeah.
And it had a, you know, remember it had the bench seats, you know, front and back. Well, whenever I got my original Skywarp as a kid, that's what my mom and dad had. And I remember I opened up the package in the car on the way home. And the right rear rudder fell down through the seat crack. I never found it again. So my G1 Skywarp was always missing that right rear rudder. Fast forward to about 2003-ish. I think it was Insane Galvatron's first BotCon or OTFCC that he went to, he remembered that my Skywarp was missing a rudder. And, you know, he did a great thing and actually picked up...
Sure, I'll buy one.
Yeah, he found a right rudder for a Skywarp.
Now, to me, you had a 50-50 chance. How did that turn out?
He got the right one. That's but impressive. I did not he know. Get
the wrong one.
I did not know that there were two different sizes.
Yes.
Without the exception that my Thundercracker had the large rudders. And I always would try to put a Thundercracker wing on there, and it would never fit. And I always just assumed that it was just difference between the two toys. But no, it was a running change.
Well, first of all, Sergio, I see you're texting while on the air. That's wrong. At least put yourself off to the side. Do something.
Well, it'd be even worse God if he was texting it. While we were on air.
We don't know. Don't do that. Hey, stop that. Stop it. All right.
It's like...
people have to understand that. One. So when you go to piece your guys together, whatever it is, G1, G2, whatever, do your research. Find out. Is there a small peg, large hole, small hole, whatever? You know, what you need to do your homework. So I agree with that. You definitely need to do your homework, whatever you're going to piece together. And am I telling you it's going to be cheaper, more beneficial than just buying the whole thing? I'm not going to sit here and say that because sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Right, Don? I mean, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. I mean, sometimes you get lucky.
All right, guys. In wrapping this up, is there any other points that you want, pointers or things that you want to talk about real quick about piecing things together? Don?
Oh, no, I was going to say something on our earlier topic on, as far as the just a follow-up to that. Okay, that's okay.
Go right ahead.
Oh, everyone, whenever you go to sell something, there is no way of you knowing the future. You don't know. When we got classics, we thought, well, when we got alternators, we thought, it's not going to get any better than this. We got classics. This is as good as it's going to get. We got Masterpiece. And a lot of us are thinking, this is as good as we're going to get. But we don't know what the future holds. If you need to sell something, that's one thing, and you can understand that, you know, there'll be some sadness on that, but you know you have to. If you want to sell it, and again, this is coming from me who's not sold as much as I should have by now, you know, there's no way you can know. So take some solace in the fact that you can't predict the future. If you feel like it's time to downgrade, if you feel like it's time to sell some of your collection because it'll make your goals or your life easier, go ahead and do it. You know, at some point, life is going to say, "Fooled you," and then you're going to want the stuff. You're going to want some of the stuff back.
How it's would I have known that selling a Deathsaurus for $150 that it would be worth $550 more 10 years down the road?
I mean, you know, there's going to be some increase in value, but like we've talked about, some stuff drops like a rock. Some stuff holds its value. Some stuff goes up. We've talked about a lot of the stuff tonight. Just do what you think is best for you. You know it's going to come back and haunt you later on to some degree. Just if you have to do it, do it. And the best of luck to you. Just, you know, don't beat yourself up over it. It's going to happen.
Absolutely. Brett, you look like your eyes are about to pop out
doing something. I was messaging. Sorry.
You were sexting again, weren't you? Yeah.
You can't prove that.
No, Don.
Don had a dirty comment, and he's refraining.
I'm not. I am not.
Go, Don. Go.
Okay.
I can take
it. Okay, Brett was doing it, and Sergio did never. You just go from there.
Sergio, that's giddy. All right, come on. texting now. I'm trying to text without texting. There you go. Right there. There you go.
Sergio, you have any points, pointers, or points of interest for listeners about piecing things together?
Like I said earlier, do your homework, especially if you're doing vintage, because there's tons and tons of knockoffs and variants.
That is true, but there's one place to go to. But that's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. But Brett, how many dealers? I'm not asking you names, of course. How many dealers do you know has passed off KO stuff as vintage stuff? I mean, you've known more than one or two, probably.
I know that a couple people have done that, and I'm not going to say who. I will say, without a doubt, I stand behind everything that we sell as legit. If it's supposed to be G1, G2, Armada, whatever, that's what we do. Because I do the research. I mean, I just do. Do I think there's dealers out there that purposely do this stuff? No, not really. I think it's just being, and this is a good word to use, being ignorant. Ignorant being that you don't know what you're talking about. So they're just being ignorant. They don't know what they have is not what they're representing. I don't think they're doing it on purpose. So just buy with me. But that's okay.
So subtle.
It is. I can tell you right now that, I mean, we're not the biggest guy out there. We're not trying to be the biggest guy out there. We do have a lot, and we do try to represent. We do represent what we sell, 100%. And because I do the research, and one of them is TFU. That's a great resource to use. And the other thing is this little noggin right here, because I happen to remember all this stuff because I'm not quite as old as Don. I mean, so I do remember some stuff.
Sunny.
Yeah. So, but no. Whatever you do, if you're going to buy one, if you buy a transformer and it is complete and it's a good price, buy it. If you find the shell, for layman's terms, the body, and you need to complete it, and you do your research and you know what it's worth, you know, come by us or whoever and find the parts for it. It might cost you a little less. So piecing together is not a bad thing. Overall, I think it's a great thing.
It's not. Well, guys, I think we've had a great episode here. I hope you listeners have had some good advice and good pointers that you've learned from this episode, maybe some things that you haven't considered. If you're so inclined, please like, subscribe, and share us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, wherever you go. And also check out CapturePrey.com and Mega Toy Fan. You know, we'll be at TFCon USA coming up in Chicago in a couple weeks. I can't wait to hit Portillo's and some chocolate cake milkshakes and some Giordano's. And,
diabetes.
Yeah, diabetes. Brought me diabetes. But
oh, it's been such a fun weekend.
Oh, gosh. I'm so looking forward to it. Yeah, message us on Facebook. Join us on the Facebook group.
One thing I wanted to say, Sergio, I'm sorry. You haven't been prepping this. Duran, you have. Don, you have. When we have listeners come up and say that they love hearing us, and even if they want to argue, whatever, we love it. We absolutely love it. And
I was before I was on the show. I'd go up to Duran and be like, hey.
Every single show we do, and I went to a show in Ohio and had the same thing. So I love it. I love hearing about the feedback. You're doing this great. You You rock, you suck, whatever. I don't care.
Well, we hopefully we don't suck. We do realize that not every episode we hit that we air is a home run winner. And we're going to have some issues every now and then. But we try to put out the best quality show for you viewers and listeners. Trying to always come up with great guests, great topics like this one tonight. I thought this was a winner topic. To talk about, so you know,
but the whole idea is we want feedback. We want feedback from our listeners. And if you see us, that I'm telling you, that's just so sweet to have someone come up and say, "Hey, you know, I talked to Don, I talked to Duran, and I just love it, and I love your show or this and that, whatever. I love it.
He thinks it's so sweet, and if you feel so inclined, go up and give him a kiss right on the cheek, just give him a good old, you know, horse lip kiss.
Just remember, if you're hot, don't do it while the wife's around. just don't do it.
Slip him a $10 bill under his garter belt. There, you know.
I'm easy, but I'm not cheap. Come on.
Okay.
Brett sits there, and he'll pull that $10 bill and go, "Hey, I can get me a deluxe. I can go to TJ Maxx now, baby."
John's like a blush and everything. I'm like, yeah.
No, it's like I was going to ask, where can you get a $10 deluxe? But yeah, the Sky Rain Wave is showing up there.
Wait a minute. I got it right here.
Oh, just as a thing for our listeners, if you have a chain of stores in your area called Ollie's, which is a discounter like Big Lots along the same lines, Masterpiece Grimlocks have been reported showing up there for $35.99.
What?
Yes, I have seen photo proof, and a friend of mine from one of the same board Blade Raider and I are on. Actually has seen photo proof of a pic of it being legit. And also some Ollie's are also getting last year's or year before last San Diego Joe sets for about $50.
Now listen, to me that sounds about as extraordinary as finding a very, very cheap Supreme Cheetor and mailing it to me so that I could send it. All right, just remember, for everyone that you send to me, I will send $5. $5 to the shelter. I'll send it anywhere. It doesn't matter. $5. Everyone you send to me.
I can see Dawn.
I will do this. Yes. Please send them. Keep them coming. Not. Yes. Thank you.
No.
I can see Dawn making a homemade video. And it's going to start like this. If he gets a whole pile, of Supreme Class Cheetors and everything,
and he has to have them stacked behind him.
No, it's going to start like this. He's going to be sitting in a chair with his back turned to the camera, and then he's going to slowly turn around.
And then I'll have
my attention that you have bought me some Supreme Class Cheetors. Outside my door is this bonfire. I'm going to go burn them.
No, you can't do that. You have to stack them behind you. I really want to see how many have come to me.
Okay, so I guess when I turn around, Duran, I'll have one in my arm, like Dr. Evil.
Yeah, you know, you'll be stroking it. Yes. Like,
by the way, real quick, this is very, very serious. Very serious. Anyone that wants to donate one, please contact me through Facebook. I will more than happily send it along with my contribution. So please, these animals want help. Please send them. Send them to me.
Okay, I'm going to say this. One, don't do this. I'm begging you.
Don't do that. You need to do what I say.
Here's the thing. If anyone is going to do this, one, please don't. Two, if you're going to do it, make sure it's boxed so that I can donate it to the Toys for Tots, whatever my area is available. for the holiday.
So Don would donate it to Toys for Tots, and then there would be all kinds of these kids showing up at Headmaster Don's house because he knows he's a Transformer guy because they see him at Walmart. Yeah. And they're like, Don, we got this thing for Christmas. We don't want it. We thought you would like it. So they bring it back to you.
And then I'll get another $10 donation. Listen, you have to accept it.
And have I don't. I can fight every fiber of my being.
I want to see, an ocean.
Oh, no. What you want to see, you want to see the BBTS wall of Metroplexes at BotCon that year. That's what you want to see behind me.
Listen, this is costing me money, too. And I'm willing to do it. But I want to see that wall behind you.
Donate the money to your local charity.
But please. Yes. Also, before we log off, go to Capture Prey. Pre-order this dude here. You won't regret it. Absolutely phenomenal toy. Phenomenal.
And send your Supreme Cheat Horse to me. Yes. I will pay for it. Just do it. Please.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Hey, Duran, when we log off, remind me to inflict my earlier Simba joke on Brett there.
Oh, boy.
All right, guys. We will see you next time on Transformers for your listening pleasure, TFYLP. This has been episode number 219. I'm Duran, along with Megamus.
Yes.
Master Don.
Send them! Send them!
And Primal X. We'll see you next time on TFYLP.
Later, everybody. Take care.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.